Good evening, hockey fans!
Hi there, welcome to Clan Chat, our chance to catch up with former players and get their stories and reflections from their time here with the Clan. I'll introduce our special guest in just a second, but first up is a man with a face for radio right now, starring in BBC Radio Scotland sitcom Saddled. If you haven't heard it, his character Robbie apparently has bad people skills. Sounds like the sort of person you wouldn't want dealing with sponsorship. Luckily, Jerry McLaughlin is nothing like that. Welcome back, Jerry. Good to see you.
How you doing? Did you listen to Saddle then, Craig? Have you listened to it yet?
I haven't got around to it yet, I'll be honest. I haven't got around to it. It's on my list with everything else. But how's the show going so far?
Yeah, really good. Like, it's like people need a bit of comedy and stuff now, don't they? And obviously, there's not a lot of TV and stuff going on. So to work on a radio show at the moment was great. And not a lot of people will notice it, but it was recorded during the first lockdown. So it was one of those rare shows. And Greg McHugh, who's obviously Gary Tank Commander, he recorded it remotely from London, so it was difficult doing comedy timing with all that kind of thing. But it's a really funny script, and it was really just good to kind of get out there and work. And I think everyone's feeling that, aren't they? It's just good to do anything. So yeah, doing some radio commentary was comedy was fun. Really good.
Excellent. Well, sadly, Kevin McCoskrey unable to join us this week due to his house move, sorting out 25 years of accumulated. I'll edit that out. His words, not mine. But he assures us he'll be back next week, so we hope it's going well. But anyway, regardless to our special guest and one season with the Clan in 2017-18, wearing the number 76 jersey and probably the finest man who wears a fedora than Indiana Jones. Welcome to Clan Chat, Cameron Burt. How are you getting on, Cam?
Doing good, man. Just trying to survive during this whole this pandemic. Just trying to stay busy, like Jerry said, and get some sort of normalcy back in life.
How is things in Michigan in general? Is there a lockdown there? How's it been over there?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of a three-week lockdown here in Michigan. Numbers kind of got back out of hand here, so our governor decided to shut some stuff down. That means hockey arena shut back down. You can still go out and shop, and you can go out and pick up food from a restaurant, but it's just takeaway only and things like that. So a lot of sitting at home, a lot of watching movies, catching up on Netflix and things like that.
Cam, I've almost completed Netflix. I don't know.
I'm learning different languages now on Netflix. There's so many shows in different languages.
Do you know something that we touched on just before, like we went live, literally just before, we didn't go into it too much, but I wonder, you know, you asked us how we're feeling missing hockey, you know, as fans of the Elite League. And I wonder if it is a kind of similar vibe that you get, like when you talk to guys after they've retired, and usually their first kind of bit of the year out, they're kind of like, thank God that's over in some kind of sense. But then almost when you kind of get that bit where you would have had your time off and you'd be getting back into your kind of full swing of things, I think we're kind of starting to feel like that as fans. You're like, God, we've been deep into a season now. How are you kind of feeling? Like, how's your heart for hockey? Is it kind of torn a little bit at the moment, or are you missing time?
Luckily, you know, due to my job, I'm still on the ice and things like that. So I stay connected with the game, but that first little bit once I retired, it was a little difficult, but I knew in that last season that was kind of going to be it for me. So it was probably a little bit easier for me to handle versus the players now who knew they were going back to play, but then were just forced to shut it down. So, yeah. I mean, it was difficult. I definitely would, you know, catch myself going back and looking at highlights for all the teams that I played for. And it's like, man, like I still got the itch. Like I think I could still do it, but you know, Ed, you just got to know when it's time. And I'm just thankful for the experiences and the time I got to play.
Now, what made you feel like it was time, Cam? Sorry.
No, when you go, well,
you kind of feel? What was your kind of, do you felt like you'd kind of, you know, your talent's taking you around the world. You've got to see some brilliant places, do some different things. Did you feel like you ticked a few of those things off? Or was it just, you felt it was time for another challenge? What for you was the, you kind of felt it? What was the mindset?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely cool to travel and things like that. I'd never really tried to look at it as, you know, I was using hockey to travel. Like hockey was my job and a traveling part was just a bonus. But just, you know, I wasn't just see the writing on the wall. Sometimes it's just, you know, I thought I still had the skill in the game, but it was, you know, it was time to tackle something different and give something else a try. And again, I never thought when I started playing hockey that I'd play a minute of pro hockey, let alone years. So it was something that I cherished, and it was just a good time to end it.
I want to ask you, once you left the game, you went on and qualified to become a realtor, as we call them, estate agents over here in the UK. So how's that been going for you? Obviously, you know, COVID stuff aside.
Yeah, no, it's been going good. I get a closing coming up on Friday. I've taken that down a little bit more part-time. I've gotten back into hockey a little bit, full-time more, working with a company here, Total Package Hockey. It's pretty much like a hockey academy. We've got kids that come and during the day, they'll go and work out and skate with us on the ice, me and the other instructor. And then they'll do school online through us. So they're just getting extra work, extra reps, and just developing more as a player and as a person. So I'm doing that a little bit more full time, but the real estate, it was good. A lot of driving around, saw a lot of different houses, a lot of interesting pieces of furniture and things like that. It's probably the first week I was doing it. I walked into a place showing a couple of house, and there's a big pan with two huge salmon fillets just sitting right on top of the stove, and two cats just going to town at this salmon. So it was one of the more awkward things I've seen. My first open house, the family politely forgot to flush the toilet on their way out.
Oh, classic. So that's like, yeah, literally the opposite to baking cookies, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's
that's like literally the polar opposite thing. You're like,
yeah, that one actually sat on the market for a little bit, so but no, it's, you know, good.
It's perfect job for a nosy person, man. If you want to, if you, yeah, like to, no, know what houses are like, that's perfect.
It's been great. I'm not somebody that's used to sitting somewhere for 7 to 8 hours at a time, so I get to get out, get mobile, meet new people, and yeah. You guys know I like to talk, so that's something I get to do as well.
And that's why we got you on here. It's ideal. Yeah. Let's take you back to when you first came, Cam, back in 2017, and the season before you played in Germany for Star Bulls Rosenheim. Now, they ended up relegated at the hands of Ice Pirate and Kremitschau, who happened to be coached by Mr. John Tripp, who ended up signing you for the Clan. Take us back to coming back. What was the appeal in coming to Glasgow in the first place for you?
It's crazy. I honestly didn't. That's crazy to think about that whole connection, right? Like, he coached against me that year. I try not to remember that year too much.
You must have hated him that night when you get relegated.
No, that was a tough year. Yeah, that was. Sorry to the people in Rosenheim about that one. But no, it was. I had my eye on the Elite League for a little bit. I'd known about players going and the appeal that it had to North American players, just with the amount of imports that they took. And, you know, looking at the league, I saw some of the clubs, and Glasgow just seemed like one of the premier clubs. I had known of Gareth and had some conversation with him in previous years before I made the leap overseas. But it was just, I thought it was a good fit for me. I thought the opportunity would be good. And talking to Tripper, he seemed like he was going to tell you how he felt. And that's all I've ever asked for in a coach, and just be honest. And, you know, if I'm playing like crap, let me know. And if I'm not, let me know. So it was good. He had some insight on my game, and I guess that worked out to my advantage, being able to sign there.
I remember John being really, I mean, you're one of the first players when I chatted to John that you mentioned, because you must have really made a big impact on him. Because like you said, you had those kind of titanic battles, you know, for at the bottom of the table, and it maybe didn't work out for your team, but you obviously really impressed John. He was like, this is a guy that can make things happen, and when the chips are down, you know, he really kind of gets involved and tries to turn the tide. So I know, like, you were one of the first players that John mentioned. So yeah. He was, you obviously did a good job in those games regardless.
Yeah, I'm glad the initial impression was good.
And of course, Tyler Schofield played in that team with you as well, at Rosenheim as well. So you came to Glasgow, coach obviously knowing your game, but a familiar face as well.
Yeah, no, it was great having Schofield come along. Just him and the family, I got to know him and his kids and his wife. So it made the transition just that much easier, being able to come with somebody that we knew before, and just making travel plans and communication and things like that. And just him being the dynamic player that he was, you know, just another bonus. So it was really good having somebody like that come along and just being able to make the transition easier for me and my girlfriend.
We had a chat with Barry McKenzie on the show some weeks back, and he spoke at length about working under Tripper and what it was like from his point of view. How did you find him as a coach, you know, and working with him? You know, quite an intense guy. I think we all know that. Very sort of defense minded. He was very keen to what you guys had as well. What was it like working under him?
Yeah, I mean, John's a guy that's definitely he's a passionate guy, and I love that. He, like I said, he's going to tell you how he felt. If he didn't think you were giving it his all, your all, he was going to tell you. And, you know, some people handled that a little bit better than others. And, you know, me and John, obviously, we didn't have the best relationship the entire time during the season, but our intentions were at the same part. We all wanted to win. And I think that's, you know, kind of where the friction happened. I mean, unfortunately, the season worked out the way it did. And, you know, tensions rise, but he was somebody that pushed me and somebody that expected and demanded the best from me and from the other guys. And for that, I couldn't ask for anything more. He had a great family. His wife and kids were awesome. He was somebody that, you know, I was able to sit and talk with outside of the arena, which was huge for me. I mean, it was good to have that relationship, you know, as a coach and a player, but, you know, be able to let your hair down and just put back a pint and be able to talk about things and just patch out some things was good. And he was somebody that was willing to do that. That was awesome. But he was somebody that was in great shape, man. Like that guy would work out like a machine, which he could probably suit up right now in the National League with no problem.
I think I remember Gareth saying to me, Cam, that he'd been to pick up John from the airport, and I was like, did you pick up John? He said, wait till you see this guy. Oh, man, I feel like the airport, the baggage handlers just dropped the statue at the front.
Well, he grew that mustache out, and it looked like the kind of guy that would go out in the woods and just wrestle a bear for fun.
Yeah, 100%.
It was an unfortunate situation this season again, but it was, you know, he gave it everything he had. He came every day and tried everything he could to make it work. It was just, unfortunately, one of those years, man. Somebody's got to lose, and unfortunately, it was us that year.
So we've talked about this before on Clan Chat, haven't we, Craig? With like that season in it, and because sometimes the way memory kind of works, you end up just looking back at seasons and you look at a finished place, the finished table. But some of my favorite memories of watching the Clan actually happened in that season. And you mentioned Schofield there. You're like, in my mind, he scored some of the best goals we've ever seen at the club. Sheer speed, skill, so exciting to watch. And Tyler Shafflett was a great man for feeding him the puck for those goals as well. Great vision. And then I think you deaconed out of that big challenge from, was it Byers that was coming in from Manchester? It was Manchester Storm, wasn't it?
It was. I can't even remember the player. It's funny.
I think I've never got more praise for a non-point
in my life, right? I think I've heard more about that video than anything past.
But you didn't even have your head up. You just knew he was there. Like it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of get to know some players and their tendencies and what they do. And when you kind of wind some people up, you know they're going to come and try to do some things. But it was, and we had some great players that year. I had a lot of fun. It just, like you said, it just didn't work out. I mean, we had some really skilled forwards, some really great D, and our goaltending was solid. It just didn't, we couldn't put things together on a consistent basis. You could see, you know, spurts of it, but it was just the consistency that lacked from it. I mean, I don't think there was anybody in that locker room that didn't go out and try their hardest every day. So that was, you know, from my standpoint, that's the tough part about being in there. You can't convey that to the fans that, you know, we're giving it our all, but you know, it's just not working out right now. And we don't want you to think we're slacking, but that's just part of the game, man. That's what happens in sports. So it was a good year. I had fun. I mean, some of those events were some of the best times I've had in teams and things like that. So I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fans. The atmospheres in the arena were great. And just seeing people out in town and having them come up and shake your hand and want to take pictures, it was awesome. And obviously driving Clangus, the smart car, around was
everyone loves that car.
Yeah, it was great making the trips to the grocery store every 2 days.
You know, we know that there's a lot of events at the club. That is something, and obviously that's you know, a big demand of the players when they come here. We do have a lot of fan events, the OSC events, the club events.
Yeah,
and I don't know, at the time it can be difficult, and it depends, especially when seasons are difficult.
If you're winning,
well,
great.
Of course.
If you're winning, they're great. You know, the booze is flowing. But if you're losing, you know, it seems like they're every day. But it's at the end of the day, I mean, I can't speak for everyone else, but I, you know, mingling with the fans and things like that, the fan connection, that was something that I thrived on. Like, I love that. I wasn't somebody that was there just to put on a jersey. And that's for every organization that I've been with. I tried to be somebody that was, you know, cordial, you know, to the fans, because I understand they're spending their money there to come out and watch us play and things like that. So it was tough going through with the season that we had. You know, it would have been easier to have those conversations if we were winning at the events, but I mean, we had some good times at those events. I mean, we had Ozzy scaring the crap out of those kids at Halloween. I mean, we had some good times.
That's the thing. I mean, you come in, you and all the other guys come in at a time when the club was in transition. We seen a coach we'd worked with for 4 years move on. John came in, whole new team as well. A lot of guys had retired and moved on. Did it feel like a transition in terms of you're all, it's maybe taking that bit of extra time to gel together as a unit? Did it feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, and I don't want to say traditionally, but a lot of times you don't see such the turnover rate that you see. You know, some teams will retain a couple of their imports that, you know, will not really direct the ship for the other imports that come in, but just make it a little bit easier to navigate. We had a great set of, you know, Scottish and English players there. But to task it on them to try to, you know, rope everybody in to get everybody in and one group, it's a lot. So it's just tough to get everybody to gel together under one banner in such a short period of time. It's tough. I mean, you look at teams, those perennial teams in that league, they're consistently keeping a decent amount of their imports. You look at teams like Cardiff, and you could see guys on a team like that that have been there for 3-4 years. So it's, whenever you've got a turnover like that, it's going to be tough to kind of get everybody to gel together. But I mean, at the end of the day, we're professional athletes and we needed to make it work, and we failed to make it work. And some of us lost jobs for it. So it is what it is. That's the nature of the beast.
It's something we definitely learned from at the club. I know, like, exactly as you're saying there, there's you know, great guys that were still at the club in terms of like Woody and had been there before and you know, are better and better every year at getting welcome. And now he must have it down to a T now as the captain. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. It must make a big difference for it to be someone, you know, from North America who just knows just the little things. Oh, by the way, you'll want to know this. Like, I know it's so silly, but one of the things I didn't realize is people don't use the word Fortnite in North America.
No, I have no clue what that was.
Every Fortnite.
Like, or guys would tell, hey, how much do you weigh? Oh, it's 2 stones. And I'm like, what's a stone? Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Like, what's, wait a second. But no, it's, and then vice versa. You look at guys like Barry and Matt Haywood that were there and other guys that have been there, them having to meet new people, all new imports and, you know, get accustomed to their playing style and things like that. So it's just, from both sides, it's a transition.
The thing is, as well, against going back to a chat with Barry a few weeks ago, what we learned was guys like Barry still keep in touch with John from time to time. It was Barry's birthday, and they unexpectedly FaceTimed him, which would have been a bit of a surprise for him.
You know, you'd have thought from the outside looking in, some of the fitness matches they had, you'd have thought they would have never talked to each other. But that's just it, man. Like I said, John was one of those guys that was, he could take you and have a beer with you and just talk and really get to the root of why, you know, things might have been portrayed or interpreted a certain way. So it's not that he was going to banish you to the doghouse and you were never going to be let out. Like, he was going to let you know what was going on and why. And if you wanted to go have a pint and talk about it, we can do it. But I didn't mind Tripper. I mean, obviously we had some battles and things like that, but it wasn't because of personalities and things like that. It was strictly hockey, and I can respect that he didn't cross those lines and things like that. So it was, it's funny. It's funny that him and Barry did that, but I could definitely see if anybody did that, it'd be Barry McKenzie.
I remember Barry coming in that season and I just thought he looked, I mean, Barry had a great start. The Champions League season, Craig, and you remember he scored those 2 goals against Fife. We talked about that for, you know, and he obviously is playing for Fife now. But Cam, see, when he came in at the start of that season, I know we were talking to him over the summer, and Tripper had like phone calls.
Did he show you his videos of his time, of his running? Did he ever show you his times and his videos of him running while he was on holiday?
But he did. He looked in great shape at the start of the season. I think, you know, Barry's obviously, I mean, we've talked to him about this, and he kept, that's had a big, you know, influence on him. And I think John has had a big influence on the club. A really massive positive influence. Just happened to have been a really tough season in terms of results, but it started so well. If we take you back to the start there, Cam, that Scottish Cup, you know, which, a shame it was only a one-off event, that, but what a fantastic start with some really kind of brutal but fantastic games against Fife and Dundee. I mean, you must have been, it started so well.
Yeah, no, it was a great start. I mean, obviously we thought we had a promising season on our hands after that start. But again, it's, you never know, man. It's a game by game kind of deal, a shift by shift kind of deal, and things like that. And yeah, we had some unfortunate injuries, and things like that. But it's, again, that's no excuse. We just couldn't put it together. That was just at the end of the day, we couldn't put it together. There's no excuse. And, but again, I got some positives from that season. I met some great people, both in, you know, Scottish people and teammates, great events, obviously had the best mascot I've seen in sports. So it was great. Barry was a treat to watch in the gym, though. That was something. You can never get to see Barry McKenzie on a track running. I think you should get out to check that out.
That could be a feature for the next show.
Yeah, just watching Barry on the ice screaming, "I'm giving it all I got, John." Do the laps. Then he makes him do it again, and it was funny.
I've got to ask. I mentioned the fedora back at the intro. Do you still have it?
Yeah, I still have it here. That's been a while, actually, since I've broken it out. It's, I don't get in suits too much now. I try to stay in the leisure wear if I can. But I've always got some sort of hat on, you know. My male pattern balling is coming in, so I've got to cover it up.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
That's the way forward, guys.
That's confidence, though. You got way more confidence than me.
No, I've just accepted what nature's doing to me and just thought I'll get two steps ahead.
I've got to ask you. Oh, sorry. Okay.
The reason I mentioned the fedora was one of our fans, Fiona Jones, on the Facebook page was asking, well, not so much asking. She says that he has to wear the fedora. So I think she was hoping you were going to come on here tonight. Here we go. Hoping you were going to wear it.
How's Kirsten with you? Time.
Say it again.
How's Kirsten doing?
She's doing great. Yeah, she's off from work today, so she's just lounging and relaxing out on the couch with my dog. So
just in case you need a hat.
Yeah,
she's there for you.
Kirsten, can you go get my fedora out of the closet for your question?
What a brilliant sentence.
Yeah.
Give the fans
I don't know why I didn't even think about it. No, it's funny. I didn't wear that, I want to say, until I got overseas. I mean, I had started wearing different types of hats. I don't know why. I just kind of got into that kind of Boardwalk Empire kind of look. But
oh, great show. Great show.
Yeah, great show. And things like that. And then, you know, I started to watch Peaky Blinders more and just started getting into the hat game a little bit more and just said, go for it. So
there we go.
Yeah, she's brought them out. Yeah, I got to get some of the dust off.
Blowing the dust off your fedora.
I got to take care of them.
You got to adore your fedora. Look, here it is.
There you go, Fiona. If you're watching, there's a treat for you. He's got the fedora on. Yep. Fantastic. There's the camino.
And I raise you.
So how do you guys feel about the change from Brayhead to Glasgow?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, it's been fantastic.
Brilliant.
I think one of the biggest problems
is huge.
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the biggest problems the club's had over the years is, you know, like you said, you've come into the arena, you've seen the scale, the passion and the fan base. And I think just even, not even internationally, just in the UK, when people don't know where Brayhead is, people in, you know, in Glasgow don't really know where Brayhead is necessarily. Yeah. It's just the shopping centre. And to represent Glasgow seems like a fairer thing. And really we represent a wider area than that. It's, you know, it's the, you know, so many fans out in Ayrshire and all around the West Coast and from everywhere now. And it just feels right that we're the Glasgow clan. And, you know, you've got to be respectful of the era that, you know, people bought into Brayhead as well.
Yeah.
But I think people now seem really delighted with it. And merchandising-wise, people have bought in great and seem really proud. And the players seem to love wearing, you know, the logo and everything. So
yeah,
what did you make of it?
Fashion sense since I left. I look at their apparel and stuff now that the guys get, and it's like, man. I looked at the tweet they put out, and I look at the helmet, and that's probably the worst helmet I've ever worn in my career. Man, that thing was huge.
Was that the season? Were you the season where we wore the Clangus brown jersey? Was that that season? Or was that the season before you? What special edition jerseys did you have to wear for us?
So do you remember what you played in? Tartan stripe ones that were the purple.
Now, do you remember a question that I had to ask you? Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
It was left to me. We were talking about wearing the Clan Tartan outfit, and we were going to get the Clan Tartan shorts, but we were going to get socks that look like hairy legs.
Oh.
So everyone looked like...
Hell yeah, that's hilarious.
And it was left
that
to me.
That was, yeah.
If we should match up, we were like, it's going to be an optical illusion.
To.
And yeah. I had to call... I had to call you, Cam, and go, hey, man, sorry to ask this, but if you were to get these socks that to look like legs, what colour would you like them to be? Because we also had to kind of think, are we going to be tone matching here so it looks like an optical illusion for everyone?
Well, you don't want to scare the kids, right? You don't want to scare
the last thing you want.
Yeah. You don't want to see it. Yeah.
I don't want to be that. Look? Yeah. I didn't want to be that guy to ask that question. And no, I think you just sent me back.
I completely forgot about the hairy legs.
In the end, we didn't go for it, did we? I think we just went for
Yeah, we didn't go with the hairy legs.
It didn't look good anyway. Like the socks came, the skin textures didn't look right, and the hair, it just didn't look right. So we just went with tartan socks. Thank God.
that would have been. I would have bought those socks. That was the auction I'd have bid on myself for.
You were talking about, you're asking us about the branding, the branding change, and it's kind of nice that we sort of link in here because you were actually back the following season. You'd signed for MAC Budapest the next season. You didn't play, but you came over anyway. And I remember speaking to you after the game, and you just looked as though you were delighted to be back. How good was it to be back so soon at that point?
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, it was to be back so soon, you know, so I was still fresh in people's mind was awesome. It obviously would have been better if I could play, but I was able to get in the crowd and mix with some fans that remember me from the year before. So it was awesome. I mean, the atmosphere at that arena was great. I mean, it was electric. So it was great being back. Once I found out we were going back, I was pumped. And then when I got hurt in practice, I was pretty bummed out and begged my coach to let me go. And he reassured me that I was going to go, that I had to make sure they knew where they were going. But it was great to be back there. I mean, obviously the year didn't work out the way that we wanted it to, but just getting back, seeing everybody was awesome. So it was, you don't get many chances to go back and do things like that. So it was good to come back and say hi to some people. It was, the fans there treated me great. I mean, it was, I ended up getting, one of the fans let me borrow a bike. I mean, it was, who does that, right? Like I just randomly tweeted like, hey, I need a bike. I want a bike to the rink. And that day, three or four people were in my
If you tweeted that out in Glasgow, you would have got a bike.
It was, yeah, no, it was awesome. I get a phone. So it was great just to be back to see some of the fans and thank them for the support that I had for the year before. So yeah, it was awesome.
Now we're getting near the end, so we'll just get one or two reflections. You've spoken a lot about John, about that team from that season and everything else, but what did you enjoy about, away from the ice and away from that season, what did you enjoy about Glasgow as a city? What places kind of stuck out for you?
Yeah, I mean, me and my girlfriend would travel around and do a bunch of different day trips. I love the town of Ayr. Something about that area was just, I don't know, man, like we would go and see just different places. She got into hiking big time and in photography and things like that. So we would go to in my pronunciation, I'm probably butchering things now, but is it Lomond or Lomond?
Lomond.
Yeah. So we'd go there and just venture around and things like that. And was it the Devil's Pulpit? She kind of convinced me to go down halfway down. I went halfway down. I didn't go all the way down. She wanted to go all the way down. And I said, absolutely not. But just the outdoor space there was probably some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in downtown, just how artsy and diverse it was there. I was very impressed with the diversity there in Glasgow. And just some of the museums and the culture that we got to immerse ourselves in. Obviously, you know, the weather is a little bit different than we see over here, but you know, we made it as best as we can. And just being there with the shopping and restaurants and things like that was awesome. So
you suggested a few good restaurants to me. I remember you gave it a few good tips.
The Birds and the Bees, I think, was one place that we went
to. Yeah.
That when her parents came to town, they just raved about that spot. So it was just a lot of little, you guys have more family-owned restaurants and things like that there that you just can feel the vibe and things like that from the owners and people that work there, that they actually kind of care about your business versus getting you in and out, you know, here with your chain restaurant. So it was great. I mean, it was, you know, I remember when I first got there, first turn out of the parking lot of the mall was going the wrong direction on the road. So there was a learning curve. Thank God it was probably 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and no one was on the road, but no, it was great. I had a great time there. The environment, the restaurants and things like that, and just going to the different little microbreweries and getting my iron brew from Barry.
Yeah.
Get my iron brew from Barry. He'd crush three or four of those a day. You can't tell. He's one of my favorite players on that team. I love Barry.
You can tell.
Barry and Sully. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Sully. That guy has easily worked his way on my probably top five list of most influential athletes. Like, what a guy. I love that guy. Brilliant. Being able to live his truth. You know, I love Sully.
Yeah.
I got Brooksy. I still talk to Brooksy from time to time. Still joke around with that old fart. Glasgow was good. We had some good guys, and it's tough once you leave and go to different teams, keeping up with those relationships and conversations. But you check in with time to time. You see different milestones and things like that. Mbok was there with us for a short period of time, but he's gone on to get married and have a child and things like that. So it's good to see guys flourishing and things like that. But I love Glasgow. I'm a city boy at heart, so it was perfect being somewhere that was more of a city versus, you know, and I loved my time in Sweden, but I think our town had 10 to 11,000 people, so.
Right.
There we go. Right, we'll just finish off there with just a couple of messages from fans on Facebook. I mentioned Fiona Jones there. She's got her wish. You've got your fedora on. Good to see. William Ferguson, he says you were one of his favourite players. Very underrated as well, he says. And Norman Stewart. Cameron was a great wee player, one of my top 10 clansmen of all time. So there you go, Cam. Still very much in the hearts and minds of the Purple Army. Good to see.
It's great. Like, it's great that Cam was considered underrated and he was our player of the season that year. So that's underrated.
Listen, I've fully admitted that I'm the way I play is definitely more of the risky style, but I preface that everywhere I go. So I don't want people to think they're getting something that they don't. I'm a riverboat gambler, and obviously when it doesn't work, it probably doesn't look the best, but when it works, it looks pretty good. But I wish it was a little bit better that year, but that's, you know, as athletes and as people, you have times that you fight adversity and things like that. But again, I tried to show my skills on and off the ice that I was somebody that was there, not just to put on the Brayhead jersey and collect a check, but that I really wanted to be a valuable part of the organization. Obviously, I've got nothing but, you know, respect for the fans and things like that. It was unfortunately the way the season ended up, but you know, I'm hoping that hockey's back soon for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Sid.
And I think the fans could tell that as well with the way you played, Cam. I think that's the one thing that people always say when they talk about you. You could always tell when you went on the ice, you were trying to make things happen, regardless of the score, whether we were drawing, losing, or winning. You were always the person to look confident enough to try and change up the game. People love good skaters, and I think you're one of the best skaters we've had at the club, and you know, and delighted you got your award at the end of the season for it as well. So people think very fondly.
That was a huge surprise, but it was, I can't thank the fans enough there. I mean, just obviously it's, you know, when your team's doing good, you're cheering for them, and when they're not, you're not. That's just how it is, and I understand that, and that's just how sports is. But at the end of the day, it seems like they saw some sort of value in what I brought to the table, and I just want to thank them and let them know that, you know, I wasn't somebody that was just trying to use that organization for money. I was somebody that loved coming to the rink for games, and you know, even when we were losing, I liked going to those events. So it was fun to get out and socialize with the fans. I mean, it can get boring just going to the rink and going home and not actually creating that relationship and vibe between the people who are there to cheer you on and see you play. So that's something that I tried to do, and it seemed like the fans at Brayhead were receptive to that. So it was great. I mean, obviously you guys were a huge, huge ambassadors for that. You guys made it easy for me, two of the best radio and TV personalities out there. So Glasgow's lucky to have you guys.
Thank you, Cam. That's nice. Nice way to round things off. We're coming to an end of Clan Chat this week. Just to remind you, Clan versus Cardiff Devils is Saturday's game from February 2011. It's on the YouTube channel. Catch it 7 p.m. on Saturday. Shut off the back tickets, and 50-50 tickets are on sale as well. Look out for those through the Clan social media accounts. Clan Chat podcast, still catching up with those. This one with Cameron will be out on Monday. When you watch this, Jade Galbraith will be out tomorrow. That was a good one. In the meantime, that's it from us. Jerry, thank you as always.
Yeah, thanks very much, Craig. And great talking to you, Cam. And big love to Kirsten as well. Great to hear you guys are kicking on and doing well.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Let me know if you're ever doing something again. I'd love to get on again. Tell me if you guys need to fill some time. Boom. Get me and Barry on here. We can
get Woody on here, too.
Get Woody on here.
Wow, that's a good idea.
There you go. And yep, as Jerry says, Cam, great to catch up with you. Very best of luck in your career, and hopefully lockdown will be over before you know it, and we'll get back to normal.
Thanks, guys. Everybody over there, stay safe.
We'll be back with another Clan Chat next week. So take care, wear a mask, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.